Welcome to the Susquehanna Valley Baptist Pulpit, preaching a life worth living, abundant life in Christ. And now the message.
Being prepared for the times, that's a great theme. And so we don't want the fun to stop now. Amen. We're going to open up the Word of God. Doesn't mean we have to stop now. The fun doesn't have to stop here. So if you got your Bible, we're going to look at the book of Ecclesiastes. And while you're turning there, now I have to admit, I have some prizes. And I don't have the prizes with me. I'm still asked the questions. And so we'll just have to give you a round of applause or something. First of all, before you get there, who thinks they can spell Ecclesiastes? All right, right here, first.
Ecclesiastes.
Correct. Round of applause. There we go. Very good, very good. All right. And who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes? Right here.
Solomon.
Solomon. He said Song of Solomon. That is correct. That is correct. In verse number one, he's called the preacher. If you look in your Bible, he's called the preacher. The words of the preacher. I like preachers. I don't know why, what it is about that. But in fact, here's just a little tidbit. But did you know that the Hebrew name for the book, is the same word for preacher that is found in verse number one? That's the Hebrew name for the book. The word Ecclesiastes, the English word, comes from the Greek name for this book, Ecclesia. Who knows what Ecclesia means?
Church.
Means church or assembly. Assembly. So Ecclesiastes has the idea of gathering together a group of people to hear the preacher. To hear the preacher. All right. So just a little bit of knowledge there for you. Written by Solomon, and a very, very, very interesting book of the Bible. In fact, there's a lot of good famous verses that come out of Ecclesiastes, but there's also some chapters that we don't like to talk about very much. And there are some things in there that make us scratch our heads and say, what in the world is he talking about? But I like to think of the book of Ecclesiastes as God trying to help prepare us for life under the sun. All right? Because when you think about preparation, it kind of helps to know ahead of time what you're getting into. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, part of the discussion while we were talking there, and he was mentioning a national park, and it came up in our topic of discussion. Is it Death Valley National Park? Are we going to be in the desert? Or is it Denali National Park up in Alaska? If you're going to prepare for something, it helps to know ahead of time, hey, you know, where are we going to be? Where are we going to be? All right. I picked some national park down in the U.S. Virgin Islands. There's got to be one down there somewhere, right? Maybe I would pick that one. Somebody else, my wife, we talk, and, you know, my dream getaway, if I had my, you know, selfish way, you know, I would go down in the Caribbean somewhere. I'd be on an island where nobody else was, and I would wear shorts and flip-flops and never see anybody. My wife doesn't think so. She thinks I need to be around people. But I tell you, I said I could be on an island down there and not see anybody and just be just fine, you know. And her, like, dream getaway is up in the mountains somewhere. She wants to go far away up into the mountains in a cabin. And that the other people, that doesn't interest me at all. Like, whoa, it's cold up in the mountains, you know, and there's wild animals up there in the mountains, right? So anyways, I'm rambling a little bit. Better check my watch here so we don't get too long. But when I think of Ecclesiastes, what you have is God telling you what it's going to be like, what life is going to be like. And he's pretty blunt about it. He's pretty frank about it. And that's where you get some of the passages as you read in Ecclesiastes where you sit there and you scratch your head and you say, what is God saying here? What is the truth that's going? For instance, as we begin Ecclesiastes chapter number 1, look at verse number 2. It says, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Now this word vanity, it comes out, it's used, I think, almost 60 times times in a book, quite a few times. You can look it up, the exact number, but it's a key theme here in the book, and the preacher here is almost lamenting, kind of complaining a little bit, and the complaint is more like, I wish somebody would have told me what life was going to be like. I wish, I wish I wouldn't have had to gone through all of these life experiences and gone through all these frustrations and gone through all of these things that he goes throughout the book and sees. And he comes to the conclusion that it's all vanity. Now, as we get started this evening, I want to tell you a little bit about this word vanity, because it's important that you define the terms biblically and you understand what this word means as we think about preparation for life, all right, and for the time that we're coming. All right? Because this word vanity does not mean meaningless or useless, okay, or worthless. It does not mean worthless or meaningless or useless. I say that because, sadly, most of your modern English Bible versions translate this word exactly that way. If you look up the NIV and some of the other Bible versions, it'll say meaningless or worthless or everything was worth, but that's not what the word means, okay? And that's important because later on in the book, the God, through the preacher, says that wisdom is vanity. Is wisdom worthless? God calls hard work vanity. Is hard work worthless? Useless? Some of the things that he calls worthless in this book are indeed worthless. We kind of understand that. But what do we do with the passages where the Bible says the fear of the Lord is vanity? Huh? That makes us go, huh? Like, all right, I'm with you too, because so what does this word mean then? If it doesn't mean meaningless, or if it doesn't mean worthless, you think you know what it means?
It means dust or vapor or smoke.
See, the word comes from vapor or smoke. Vapor or smoke. And there are two characteristics about vapor that really relate to life. In fact, in the New Testament, it talks about this as well. One of those things is that vapor or smoke does not last long. It's not long-lasting, right? In the book of James, the Bible says life is like a vapor. It appears for a little time and then vanishes away, all right? It under the sun, in other words, while we're here on this physical earth, not everything's going to last. Not everything's going to last forever, okay? There is eternal things, praise the Lord, that do last beyond this life. Under the sun, not everything lasts. But the second characteristic about smoke or vapor is that there's nothing to grab a hold of or nothing to latch onto. Okay, you can see vapor, you can see smoke, but if you try to grab it, are you with me? You get nothing every time. All right, it's like a mirage almost, if you would. It's better than a mirage because it's actually there, but if you try to hold it, if you try to put it in your grasp and contain it. And so from that, a good illustration for the meaning of this word is that the fact is that life has no guarantees. Okay? There are no guarantees in life. So when we look at things like wisdom, when the Bible says here in this book that wisdom is vanity, what he's saying is he's not saying that wisdom is worthless. He's not saying that wisdom isn't good, that you don't need wisdom. But what he is saying is that even if you have wisdom, there's no guarantee that things are going to work out for you in life. But do you understand that? The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord we ought to have. Amen. And he even exhorts us in this book to have the fear of the Lord. But even if you have the fear of the Lord, there is no guarantee that things are going to work out for you in your life. Now, it's hard for us as human beings. And even especially as teenagers, I love working with teenagers. I pray for you teenagers. And one thing I like about teenagers like everything in black and white. 2 + 2 = 4. And it does. Hey, amen. I'm not one of these new math guys, but I'm just saying we like, and here's where I'm going at with this. All right. As human beings, we want to know, okay, if I go to church and if I do right and if I live like I'm supposed to do and I make good choices, then I'm going to be successful and things are going to go my way and I'm going to have a good life. Are you with me? And what happens though, when you do all of those things, you go to church, you do right, you make the good choices, you do all of those things, and then things don't happen that way. Things don't work out. Are you with me? Like Job. He was a man who feared God. He was a man that eschewed evil. He went through some terrible tragedies. And the preacher goes through this book and he talks about that thing. In fact, the two guarantees that you have in life is that life is going to be hard, number one, and number two, you're going to die. And it doesn't matter if you're a drunk and you're a drug addict and you bad things could happen to them. And by the way, good things can happen to them too. But it doesn't matter if you live life that way. Just recently I had a good friend, or I say good friend, but my wife had a good friend. He helped me out get started in real estate, a big real estate business up in near Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Good man, good Christian man, lived for the Lord, did things the right way. He adopted a little girl. They couldn't have kids. Adopted a little girl and raised her as his own for 18 years. And a little over a year and a half ago, just shortly before she was going to graduate from high school, she was hit and killed by a drunk driver. Tore his heart and his wife's heart out. Tore them up. Now, there are a lot of other families up in that region. Some don't even go to church, but they never had that tragedy happen to them. Some could care less about God, never gone through something like that. See, are you getting the gist, teenagers? See, here's the thing. God's trying to give you a heads up. And He's trying to tell you, hey, listen, just because you do right, just because you have wisdom, by the way, Solomon was the wisest man to have ever lived. Was he not? Are you with me, guys? You guys awake? If you're awake, raise your right hand. All right, there we go. Say, Pastor, where are you going with this? Well, we're going to get into this here as we start to prepare for how to live our lives. Okay? Because bad things happen to good people. And good things happen to bad people. And sometimes good things happen to good people and bad things happen to bad people. But essentially, there is no guarantee in life. Even if you do right, you may help yourself out a little bit. You may give yourself a better chance in the end. But some of the best people I've known have gone through tragedies that we can't explain. We can't explain. So that's where we're at in Ecclesiastes. And that's where teenagers oftentimes get really bent out of shape. Because you try to do right, and you're trying to live right, and you're trying to stay on a straight and narrow. And sometimes you look out and you see so many other teenagers you don't even care. Not even trying. You with me? You follow what I'm saying? And yet, sometimes it seems like they're the ones that prosper in life. So, how do we prepare then to live life? We'll go through the book of Ecclesiastes here, and I'll just share some things. But before we do, let's pray. God, I do ask that you would help me to teach and preach your word faithfully. And Lord, I just pray there'd be something here that would help. I know that not everything will be remembered. But Lord, maybe there's something that one of these teens needs to hear. Maybe it's something, Lord, that they'll remember down the road. Certainly, God, I hope that no tragedy strike. I hope nobody here has to go through a difficult situation. But Lord, if they live long enough, they will have to. And Lord, some of them probably even now are wondering, why did mom get cancer? Why did dad lose his job? Why did God allow certain things to happen in their life? And is it worth it, Lord, to live for you when in the end we know that we're going to face these difficulties and hardships. And Lord, if you tarry, in the end we're going to have to walk through the valley of shadow of death, just like all those who have gone before us. Both the righteous and the wicked have faced death, Lord, before us. And so I pray that you'd help these teens to see the truth tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's go through Ecclesiastes. Just give you a few thoughts on how to prepare then for this this vapor that we call life. All right, acknowledging this truth that we're talking about here, that God, there's no guarantee that things are going to work out for you in life, so, humanly speaking, under the sun speaking. Acknowledging this and soaking in what God tells you will help to prepare you for whatever times are ahead. And by the way, Ecclesiastes talks about a time, the times for different things. So I'm going to give you four quickly, maybe share a story or two, and then we'll be done. All right? Let me give you these. First of all, the first point and how we should live to prepare for the times in light of this truth is we need to do right because it matters to God. Okay? Number one, do right because it matters to God. In Ecclesiastes chapter number 12, verse number 1, it says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." So here, one of the admonitions that God gives us in light of the truth that life has no guarantees is that you need to start while you're young doing right. All right? Man, when you're young, the days are not that evil. Now, I have to admit, you know, there are some young people that go through evil days. And the longer I'm in the ministry, the more I meet people that have been hurt when they were children. And God doesn't take that lightly, by the way. There's going to be a reckoning one day. Jesus says it's better for you that a millstone be wrapped around your neck and that you be cast into the sea than you hurt one of these little ones. And I meet a lot of people today that were hurt when they were kids. But what I'm saying, generally speaking, is that when you're young, mom and dad bear the burdens, and you don't worry so much, all right, about where we're going to eat, what we're going to eat, and things like that. But you still need to remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. You still need to do what's right. At the end of that chapter, Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14, he says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments." When I was out in Utah, I had opportunity to run my own business. It was an industrial cleaning company. And I always wanted to run my business. And I always felt like, man, just get in there and build a business. And there's an entrepreneurial spirit that I think the Lord gave me. I don't know. It's just, maybe it's a curse. I don't know. A blessing. But I started out into it. And you know, we worked hard. And there were ups and there were downs. But I got a real baptism after a little while. When we had gotten a customer, I did all of the Del Tacos in the state of Utah. It's kind of like Taco Bell or whatever. And we cleaned their hood systems. I mean, it was a large account. I can't remember off the top of my head how many locations there were. We're talking about thousands of dollars worth of business. And we serviced all of their stuff. We did it for several years. We're doing a good job. But you can imagine that the competition for that customer would get pretty high after a while. Everybody wanted to get that, you know? But what my baptism in it was when some of my competitors decided to get dirty. And they began to do some illegal activities in order to try to steal the customers. They didn't succeed at first, but then they tried all kinds of underhanded tricks. And eventually, they were able to, the Del Taco didn't end up going with one of them, but they eventually went away from us and went with somebody else, and we lost that account. And it happened at a time when, man, everything was just kind of falling apart for my business. My employees were stealing from me. I was getting calls. And instead of cleaning in the restaurant all night, they were cooking steaks and stealing they were smoking marijuana out in the parking lot. And I'm telling you what, it was just like, it all seemed like it was just caving in at the same time. And I remember driving out in Utah. You can get away really quick. You could just drive out in the middle of the desert. And just that sick feeling in my stomach just turning. And I was thinking, man, we try to do business the right way. We try to be honest. We try to be hardworking. We lived out our Christian principles in business. And instead of succeeding, we're struggling. And I'd always believed, I was like one of those, you know, red, white, and blue Americans where, man, it's a land of opportunity. And if you just go out there and you work hard and you do things right, you're going to succeed and it's going to be great. And we were doing all of those things. We were working hard, putting in 70, 80 hours a week, and we were pounding the pavement and we were doing all of this stuff and we were struggling and we were on the verge of failure. And I remember kind of being out in the backside of that desert and kind of complaining a little bit to God. Why do you allow this to happen? Why isn't it working out? Why am I not succeeding in life? I did things the right way. And I remember God just, the Holy Spirit talking to me and communing with me and telling me, hey, it's okay. The business can fail. The business can fail. And I remember this question. Now, I don't want to go weird on you or anything like that, but you have communion with the Holy Spirit. But I remember the Holy Spirit as I was sitting there thinking, kind of like the psalmist in Psalm 73, surely I have cleansed my hands in vain. And I remember the Holy Spirit saying, would you have done anything differently? If you would have been guaranteed that contract, would you have cut corners? Would you have lied? Would you have cheated? Would you have allowed those devious practices and things that eventually got that contract away from you? Are you willing to do that? And it dawned on me right then and there that I have a relationship with God. And that I wasn't going to do things differently. And if the business failed, the business was going to fail because I was still going to do things right and I was still going to be honest before God because I still have a relationship with Him and I'm going to answer to Him and I'm going to stand before Him one day. And by the way, you got to look in the mirror too. You got to look at yourself. And teenagers, you got to stop and think about that someday because you're going to be tempted to try to cut corners in life, to break rules, to be dishonest, to turn on your integrity in order to get ahead in life. Remember your Creator. Remember your Creator. Point number two. So we do right because it matters to God. Secondly, we need to learn to live within God's timing. In Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, some famous verses, you guys have probably heard them. But it says, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant, time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, time to heal, time to break down and time to build up. Time to weep, time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. A couple of verses later it says, He hath made everything beautiful in His time. One thing you have to learn in order to be prepared for the times is you need to be willing to live within God's timing. God's timing is not always our timing. Okay? If you were to go out there to one of these fields right now and start planting corn, you'd be pretty disappointed with the results, wouldn't you? You say, why? Because it's not time to plant. You say, why isn't it? God's the one who ordained these seasons, isn't He? Right, guys? You know? We can be angry and upset about it. Some people are hoping that a man can change things. Like, you know, you got politicians running around telling you they can change the climate. Just vote for me. There won't be any more hurricanes, and there won't be any more forest fires, and there won't be any more of these stuff. You know, we kind of chuckle. It's silly. It's nonsense. No man can change these things. We understand that when it comes to like the laws of nature, when it comes to farming, but you know what, teenagers? There's seasons in life. You better learn to live within God's timing. Young people have a tendency to always want to push the envelope when it comes to timing. Dad, can I drive? Can I start driving, Dad? Come on, Dad, let me start driving. I want to get my life. All right, come on now. You teenagers look at me like, not us. No. We don't want to grow up faster than it is. If you're going to be prepared for the times, you need to understand. You say, where do we learn God's timing? We learn it in the Bible. We learn it in the Word. Don't push God's timing. Okay? And there's a multiple facets of this. Teenagers often want to get a boyfriend. They want to get a girlfriend. All right? It's not the right time. It's not the right time. Okay? I was there. I had a girl I thought I was going to marry. I was 16. Head over heels. Okay? It wasn't the one that God had for me. Yeah, I look back at all the things I missed out on because I was so flipped over a girl. I forget who I heard one of the preachers say, but you teenagers, you only have a certain amount of time in your home with your mom and dad. Learn to appreciate that time with them. Teenagers oftentimes end up with an adverse relationship with their parents. Years later, hey, I'm just telling you from this side of things now. I'm 38 years old. I can't spend enough time with my dad. I don't get to see him much. He came out last Christmas for about 4 days. It was hard to say goodbye to him. And you know, that's life. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad for me. That's the way life is. But you know, I think back in my teenage days when I could have had a lot of time with my dad, and he's the last person I wanted to hang out with. He was the last person I wanted to talk to, last person I wanted to listen to, wanted to be with my friends, wanted to be with my girlfriend, wanted to do all these things. You better learn in life, and that's just an example, but learn to live within God's time. Ecclesiastes 7:8 says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Thirdly, and I've got to hurry. I actually have 5 things here. Sorry. So we're going to have to shorten this up, all right? And we'll wrap it up here. I'll give you 3. Thirdly, you need to learn to appreciate God's working. What man does doesn't last. What God does last beyond the vapor of this life. Ecclesiastes 3:14 says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Teenagers, can I encourage you today, put a priority on spiritual matters. Make a priority on God's working in your life. When's the last time God dealt with you about something? When's the last time you made a decision for God? Learn to appreciate God's working in your own life. And then broaden that out. Appreciate God's working in your family. Pray for your brother, your sister, and get excited when they get saved. Get excited when God calls them to preach. Get excited when they make a good decision. Learn to appreciate God's working. I know as a pastor, as somebody who started or restarted a church and things like that, I had to learn, man, you got to get excited and you got to appreciate when God works in people's hearts and they make decisions for Him. And I tell you, I stand up on Saturday and I look out. Maybe not everybody in the congregation knows, but I know that there are people that had a little victory just coming to church. It was a difficult thing and they're sitting there. And you know what? Man, I praise God and I say, man, He's working. And you start appreciating when God works. And I tell you what, life gets pretty exciting. Amen? Let me give you fourthly. I threw in a free one. Live and give 100%. Live and give 100%. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Now listen to this. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Now I hate to paint teenagers with a broad brush, but if there's one thing that you can characteristic about teenagers, is that a lot of times they just don't care. They're just apathetic. Man, learn to jump in. Learn to give 110% if you can. Learn to just live and give 100%. Jump in. Jump into your church. Get excited about your family and do it heartily as unto the Lord. Because when you go in the grave, it's all over. Concern under the sun. It's all done. You can't work then. You can't learn then. Oh, teenagers, man, they're like complaining about school. Man, I wish I could go back and learn some things. You have no idea how I wish I would have learned how to play the guitar when I was a teenager. I had so much time on my hands. And now I've been trying to learn guitar for like years. It's like, yeah, I can't learn it. Teens, pick stuff up, learn, do stuff, do stuff. Don't be apathetic. Don't just sit and play video games. Don't just waste your life. Because you don't know if you're going to have tomorrow or next year. You don't know. You're not guaranteed those things. And lastly, enjoy the good that God brings into your life. You're not owed anything. Are you with me on this one? You're not owed anything. Tomorrow, and I hope this not doesn't happen, but tomorrow you could find out that you got cancer. A couple of years ago, we had an 8-year-old girl in our church was diagnosed with terminal cancer. God healed her miraculously. But she was only 8 years old, looked healthy. Wasn't because she was in wicked sin. Just life, no guarantees. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what tomorrow, if you're going to have parents, if God might not take them in some accident. I'm not trying to just be, you know, depressing. What I am saying is this. Don't go through life living entitled. You're not guaranteed anything. So enjoy the things that God has given to you today. Be thankful you could come to a youth rally. Be thankful for pizza. Hot pizza, amen? Be thankful for adults that came in to Brother Hamilton, the preparation. Learn to enjoy the good that God has brought into your life. Ecclesiastes 3:12 says, I know that there is no good in them but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. You see, what I find as I wrap this sermon up, and it's a little bit of an odd sermon, I know, but as I conclude, what gets me about Ecclesiastes is that even though it's a very fatalistic book, he doesn't come to a fatalistic conclusion. He doesn't come to the conclusion that says, oh, well, nothing matters. That's where he was at the beginning of the book. Once you realize that God doesn't owe you a single happy day in your life, then you can start to appreciate the fact that He's given you many happy days. Are you with me? Now listen, I mean this. And I don't say this bragging at all. I don't. But God has been so good to me. He could take me home tomorrow. Tonight in a tragic accident. And I would still be so thankful for the life He's given me because I didn't deserve a single minute of it. I get to do the thing I love to do the most. I get to do it with the people that I enjoy so much. A beautiful wife, 4 kids that I love being around, a camp, friends. God has brought friends into my life that I don't deserve. I have so much fun around them. I'm telling you, teenagers, God is so good. But you know what? I don't deserve a day of it. He could take me tomorrow and I wouldn't be bitter. You know, it'd be harder if He took my wife. But you know what? If He did, I'd be thankful for the years that He's given to me. Just the fact that I had one day with her. It's a blessing from Him. I'll always be thankful for the opportunity to pastor Gospel Light Baptist Church. I don't deserve it. I mean that. And if that opportunity were taken away from me tomorrow, I'd always be thankful that He gave me 3.5 years. I'm thankful for the pandemic. We've seen so many blessings through it. Things that you could never see. Say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? You got to learn to enjoy all the good. Life is hard. My life hasn't been a silver spoon. Okay? But it's been so blessed that I can barely think about the things that were painful or hurtful. All right? And this is preparing you for the times. Things may not always stay like this. We may not always be able to meet in beautiful buildings. We may not be able to travel and get together with like-minded churches. So enjoy it right now. And when that, and if that ever happens, we'll enjoy the good things that God does then. Amen? Preparing for the times. I just gave you some help. They're from the scriptures. I didn't give you like something from my mind. But just going through that book of Ecclesiastes and understanding this, that as Christians we praise the Lord that under the sun is not the end for us. Because there's life after. And it's with God. And we can live for eternity. So fear God. Fear God and keep His commandments. Because He's worthy. Because we have a relationship with Him. And one day when they bury us, if we get to that point, Jesus don't come first. We go to meet Him. We'll be able to look Him in the eye and know, God, I did what was right. Even though everything didn't go well.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to contact us, please write us at P.O. Box 126-541, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, 17112. And visit our website at www.svbcpa.org. Until next time.